This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, I'm always interested in how people pick names or online handles for forums and such. I remember this back in the days was on America Online. And people would pick names that sometimes had nothing whatever to do with their personality. But they chose it anyway. I used my real name. Originally, it was Gene S3 on AOL. And I can say that now because eventually, although that name has disappeared into oblivion now, they gave me the name Gene because the original Gene quit the service. And I was working as a forum leader, and I got a call from the producer, and he said, "The name is available. Get it." And I did. So I've always been known as my real name. Except on one forum, I call myself Captain Marvel. And I understand the current Captain Marvel is a female character, but I was thinking of the original Shazam, you know.
Marvel.
Marvel, yes, Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel. But they had this copyright stuff in the 50s, so that's why, after all that, they can call the character Shazam, which is what Billy Batson says to become Captain Marvel. Don't ask me to explain the comic book stuff unless you're in it or not. We're talking about these forum things, and for example, one of our guests today is Mark Jackson, and he calls himself TDSR. And I said, you know, Mark, nothing personal. It sounds like one of Apple's suppliers to make chips or something. What does it really mean?
Well, once you know what it means, then you'll look at it differently. So, it stands for the Deep Space Resident. And Gene, you are the Deep Space Resident. Randall, you're a Deep Space Resident. We are all hurling through space. And I use it as a way to break the ice in conversations such as this, so that I remind folks that where we're really at in terms of our reality is somewhere much different than the notions that we, you know, usually consider ourselves as where we're at in space and time. So the Deep Space Resident, Gene, is you.
So you don't subscribe to the possibility we are all in a matrix reality?
No, that would be probably one of the farthest things that I would ever believe.
Wouldn't it be nice, though, to be able to change your reality and decide, you know what, this ain't cool.
No way, man. This reality is plenty strange enough, and there's enough going on to keep me occupied till my time here is done, man. So, no, I violently disagree. This place is awesome.
Well, speaking of your awesome reality, would you care to tell us, you know, not tell us where, what keeps you occupied in terms of earning your keep?
Well, by training, Gene, I'm a geologist. So I'm schooled in the arts of science. So I come at this through that lens, but I do a lot of environmental work. So I'm an environmental geologist, and, you know, we travel internationally, fairly cultured, and seen lots of things, et cetera. But yeah, so I'm an environmental geologist.
You must have enjoyed our show with Sharon Hill then.
Randall, what was, I don't catch all the shows, guys, but give me a quick summary.
Well, Sharon A. Hill, she wrote Scientifical Americans, and she is a professional geologist as well. We had a wonderful conversation with her about how people in general look at the paranormal, and if they're not scientists or they don't have any scientific training, they tend to use the buzzwords and co-opt the words, and it gets a bit fuzzy. So she came on to try to help people understand that and do better, so to speak, when it comes to talking about the paranormal.
Excellent. That's needed. I think in my private life, when I speak to folks about all things Fortean, that I keep that in mind, that I am a geologist and people know that about me. I am scientifically trained. And so not only am I careful about how I approach these subjects, But I think it carries a little bit more weight than folks that, you know, don't have that kind of training. So I feel like I'm not necessarily saying it validates anything anymore, but it provides another perspective for folks that, you know, just simply don't come from that, you know, from that lane, et cetera.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Mark, because of the field you're in, studying the environment, to some people in Washington, D.C., you are a member of the enemy class.
Well, I trained under some of the best climate scientists in the world at North Dakota State University. And how they ended up at North Dakota State is far beyond my comprehension. But anyway, they were literally two of the experts. I trained under them. And the short answer, Gene, is it's very complicated. And that's about where I stand on the issue.
Well, I kind of wish people would take it seriously more. But then, yeah, you know, the politics is just too screwy. Let me ask you something here. As a geologist, someone studies the environment, studies all those conditions. Do you see anything in the appearance of UFOs that has a geological impact?
Well, the line between geology and archaeology can be blurry sometimes. So some of the, you know, the dating procedures and things of that effect overlap the two sectors or the two disciplines. For example, last week's show with the gal from New Zealand, you know, you guys were talking about earthquake lights, et cetera. And I do think that those effects are real and observed and reported, et cetera. And she did a very good job last week kind of breaking down a perspective on that. And I think you guys spoke to it as well. But in terms of UFOs and geology, the problem, Gene, is that the Earth erodes so rapidly, in geologic terms anyway, but even 10,000 years ago, et cetera, when some of these figures talk about ancient aliens and whatnot, the unfortunate thing is that the world just erodes and changes too rapidly to preserve many of those things. And that's a fact. You know, you look at some of the Plains people and the first indigenous folks, et cetera, much of their record has been completely erased from the world. So if there was some sort of evidence or some residual artifacts from events and different things in the past, it's going to be very, very difficult, you know, for us to ever find those things. We get lucky in some cases, and there are things underwater, for example, that are well known. But the reality is that the Earth changes rapidly.
Okay, looking at that, the ancient astronaut theory. And I bring this up because we had Eric Von Däniken on the show. I don't know if you heard that episode.
I did.
He was on for an hour, and then David Halperin was quietly, the gentle religious scholar, quietly disassembling everything he said, leaving Von Däniken to admit, well, it's just my idea. Remember him saying that?
Yeah, you know, I do, but it's not just his. There's a whole industry behind ancient aliens today, as we know, right?
Sure, sure. But the interesting thing here is, based on what you say, it would be extremely difficult to find that kind of evidence that we were visited 2,000 years ago.
Well, I think finding evidence and then being able to connect the nodes, you know, appropriately to create the picture is what's difficult. And that's the mystery of it. We find these one-offs, and then people use speculation to connect those things, which is fine. And, you know, that's our condition. That's what we do. There's just not enough of it to make a succinct picture. You know, we just, unfortunately, all we get are these oddities that pop up every now and again. And I will say, in terms of your guest choice, having a religious person and Von Däniken on the same show was an odd choice of guests. You probably did that on purpose, but I think that other folks, had they followed up Von Däniken, he probably would have came out of that a little better.
The reason I did that is because David's a longtime UFO investigator. He studied the subject longer than I've known him, which is over 50 years. And because of that expertise, I thought pitting traditional science, traditional philosophy, getting a religious scholar, a guy who's a professor of religious studies, and having him deal with Von Däniken was actually the best way, because he's the expert, at least in terms of what is written, the written word. And Von Däniken is just a former hotel keeper who got interested in something, and somehow it made it work. We've got Mark Jackson, TDSR in the forums, with Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Do you need extra cash to buy gifts or just to pay all those extra bills during the holidays? Well, now you can get cash fast this holiday season with a personal loan for up to $5,000 right from your phone or PC at 79cash.com. How fast can you get your cash? Well, with 79cash.com, our lenders can have your cash at your bank account as soon as tomorrow, regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 79cash.com and you can get the cash loan you need now. So if you need cash fast this holiday season to buy gifts or pay all those extra bills, go to 79cash.com and get the cash you need. Visit 79cash.com. Type www.79cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 79cash.com. 79cash.com. 79cash.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, talking with Mark Jackson, one of our listeners. This is actually a listener roundtable, which means we're all just talking shop and talking about previous shows. And you were about to say something, Mark, I suspect, about this. But if E.T. landed, you know, in so-called biblical times, what kind of evidence could be left? that would survive geological changes?
Gene, it would have to be very recent. And I would say that what I mean by recent is the advent of depictions, whether that's art drawings, cave drawings, etchings, etc. And there is some very compelling artifacts from antiquity that do show strange objects in the sky, of course. And our listeners probably have seen many of these particular works of art. And of course, as we just mentioned, this, in terms of the spoken word, the stuff that's captured in ancient books, such as the Bible, et cetera. But again, they're just these disparate pieces, right? And it doesn't create a picture for us. Now, geologically speaking, there would be no basis for it beyond physical structures that they may have resided in. And I know that everybody loves to speculate about things like the pyramids and all that, which I'm not convinced there's a connection there. I think it's just another one of those disparate pieces of evidence of something, of some history. Graham Hancock and his teams are doing really great work adjusting the human timeline. And I violently agree with Graham on his evaluation of the pyramids, the Sphinx, et cetera. And so I guess the point is outside of work like Graham and outside of those oddities and residual artifacts, I don't think there's much for us to grab onto. And unfortunately, that's our condition as a society today. We're kind of just, as I opened the show, we're kind of hurling through space. And I feel like as a society, we're just kind of hurling through time here. And I think we could be better oriented.
I was going to ask, as a geologist, this is one of the questions that we asked Sharon Hill. And so your perspective would be interesting to get as well, so that we could get kind of a comparison. So, Mark, being a geologist, what do you think of out-of-place artifacts, uparts?
Well, there are some that are indeed strange. Let me just pick the one off the top of my head, the rock hammer. I don't know the name by which that goes by, and there are some gears and things that are found. And for me, I just believe that there were advanced civilizations, cataclysm has set us back many times. You know, like I mentioned about Graham in his work, by my guess, we probably go back at least 150,000 years in terms of modern humans. There's not genetic or fossil evidence necessarily that we know of yet to back that up. But just seeing how our society and technology fluctuates and how out in the open and susceptible we are to cataclysm, it becomes a common sense thing for me. The human condition is we want to advance, we want to explore and all those sort of things. I don't think that's novel to us now. I think that's what has allowed us to evolve. I don't even know about evolution, but that has allowed us to be here today. That's what creates our continuity. And I think that some of those artifacts may very well represent these bygone civilizations. Some of them, however, on a geologic level, there are sedimentary environments and there are oddities in microenvironments and microecologies that can create sedimentary rocks much faster than other sort of more normal conditions. There's geochemistry that plays a big role in that. So if you get the right times, the kinds of minerals and environments together, you can get precipitation of rock around objects that would, lead you to believe that they were much older than they were. So there are references or analogs, for environments that can create some of those oddities.
Let me ask you this question then. Say our civilization went to you know where in the next 100 years and a new race of humans arrives on Earth or, based on the descendants of those who survived and goes to look for the past, evidence of the past. How long would it take for most evidence of our existence to be almost undetectable?
Well, we're making material science today is quite advanced. We're talking about plastics. I mean, just look at plastics, right? So, we our modern society may be using different alchemy, so to speak, to create our everyday objects than past civilizations who may use different means and methods equally as advanced. So we have this hydrocarbon-based society, which generates things like plastics, which we know persist for very long. So I would think that it would be, considering how much plastic is out in the world today, right? Just using that one material, short of a volcanic event where these things would be raised to temperatures, these materials would be raised to temperatures where they would, you know, disseminate and go back to their elemental form. There's a strong case that evidence for us will be around for a very long time. I would say somewhere in the neighborhood, well, at least over 500 years.
So 1,000 years or 2,000 years,
Yeah, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, and there are, there are major geologic events, both astronomical, right? I mean, there's things that hit the planet, and there's also super volcanoes, and so, you know, you never know in these big events how much devastation they're really going to have. We have a sense of it, but I don't think we've ever experienced anything on the scale by which these massive events would actually wipe out most of the trace evidence of a civilization.
I think there's a show about that. It's called Life After People, something along those lines. And it,
Randall, I've seen it. It's intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember when I was in university, we were talking about different kinds of materials and the types of materials that people have used throughout the ages. You know, you start out with the Stone Age and you work your way up through the Bronze Age and so on. And the point she made is that if someday in the far distant future, someone would probably be able to dig up a McDonald's sign because they're made out of stainless steel and plastic and find these locations strewn about the globe and think that maybe, you know, we had some strange affinity for worshiping cows and that these were are where people went to place homage to the great cow god.
Ah, the great cow god. Yes. That explains cattle mutilations. It's the search for the great cow god. I don't know why I'm saying that, but we've got a lot more to go. And this has turned out to be an interesting discussion, kind of different than I kind of expected, because Mark Jackson, our guest, is a geologist. And that opens up so many interesting possibilities in terms of exploring not just the mysteries of our age, but what might have happened in the past. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Filings were released in cases involving former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen and former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort that were related to the special counsel's probe into possible coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia. More from USA's Rick Vincent.
President Trump discussed the investigation with reporters on the South Lawn before leaving for the Army-Navy football game in Philly.
Very one-sided situation, but I think it's all turning around very nicely. But as far as the report that we see, according to everybody I've spoken to, I have not read it. There's absolutely no collusion, which is very important.
President Trump also announced that his chief of staff, John Kelly, will be leaving.
John Kelly will be leaving toward the end of the year, at the end of the year, and I appreciate his service very much.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So what I think about this is, as you're talking about how evidence of civilizations might survive, I think of the old legends of Atlantis. The Shaver legends, of course. I remember Lemuria, which I can't even say. Never. That's one of the words. You know, everybody has a word they can't say. And I think of those legends of a civilization that existed thousands of years ago, that for whatever reason, whatever worldwide cataclysm, disappeared. Instead of ancient astronauts, maybe if we do find something or anything, it was us or our predecessors.
Well, you talk about the one subject outside of extraterrestrials that has a lot of the most speculation around it. You know, let's go back to, before Roman, Greek times. You know, this was a mystery to them even. So I don't think we're gaining any new insights today, because we're only getting further away from, if it is in fact a fact, we're just simply getting further and further away from it. Any evidence, of course, would be crumbling daily. If it did remain, et cetera. So I think our chances of validating that get slimmer. I listened to Daniel Litz, the dark journalist. He has an X series podcast, and he has some pretty, what appears to be succinct evidence for folks, very high profile people that continue to look into these legends of Atlantis, et cetera. But for me, that's firmly in the entertainment category. Unless, you know, I'm more hands-on and someone can point to something measurable to me for that particular subject.
Yeah, we've got the myth of Atlantis, which is different than what some of the archaeologists have discovered, because some of the archaeologists, they've called some of their discoveries actually over in the Mediterranean. They feel that they've actually discovered what was ancient Atlantis, but it's in a completely different place than beyond the Straits of Gibraltar, so to speak. It's not out in the Atlantic anywhere. It's within the Mediterranean still.
Yeah. Yeah, and to think that, you know, they say it collapsed into the ocean, you're not going to get lateral collapse. I mean, you will to some extent, especially if you're in an environment where the city's on a shelf and a shelf collapses, some subterranean shelf. You'll get some sort of lateral migration of an archaeological site. But to sort of rectify all these various locations where folks think they're at, I think they found some pyramid-like structures a couple thousand feet deep off the coast of Portugal, for example. You know, there's too many unidentified places that people can associate this legend to. And so I agree with you, Randall. It's just these locations don't match up to the legends, which makes me a little skeptical. Now, that being said, people talk in different ways. They reference things in different ways, measurements, names of cities. Cities get renamed all the time based off of, you know, cities in antiquity. So there could be some confusion in the literature, and I don't deny that. But I just don't think there's a case for any of these folks yet until they pull up a stone that says Atlantis on it. This is Atlantis. And then I think I would probably get on board.
Well, not to mention their, you know, allegedly fantastic technology that they had compared to the rest of the world. You would think you would find something that would set them apart from the rest of the ancient world as well. Not merely just pottery and more stone buildings and things of that match that timeline. What about stuff like the Baltic Sea anomaly?
Randall, give me a quick summary so I make sure I'm speaking to it correctly.
Right. In 2011, there were some Swedish divers that were out exploring the Baltic Sea, and they came across this underwater structure that reminded people of the Millennium Falcon.
Right, not familiar. Okay, yeah. Now I'm familiar. Yeah, so geoforms, morphology more specifically, is very strange for that rock. There's no question that the footage, because I believe they dove to it, Randall, did they not?
Yeah, they went down there, and it seemed like it was a little murky, the artist's renditions are perhaps a little bit better.
Yeah, and so, you know, when I look at the morphology of that particular site, it is odd. There aren't things that, look, because of the vast amount of time that the Earth has been around, you can come across geologic oddities that you would normally look at them and say, this does not abide by the rules or the physics or the geomorphology of this particular type of rock, et cetera. But because there's so many days in history that the environment or an incident or something can create oddities on its own, I don't deny that. But there are a few sites when I look at them. There's one over by China as well, where these look like megalithic carved structures, and they're on a scale that you cannot be explained, at least in our modern terms. So for me, that's kind of in the wait and see category, because put a lot of scrutiny to it, there's still part of me that says there's a there. There's something else going on.
There's another one off the coast of California. One of our recent guests, Preston Dennett, mentioned that one. It's because there are people who feel there's perhaps a base out off the coast there somewhere, because there have been so many sightings off the coast of California. And then someone found, I think it was on Google Maps, what looks like some sort of an underwater entranceway to a tunnel system, almost as if it's supported by columns and that sort of thing. Do you know the one I'm referring to?
Yeah, I do, and I listen to Denton. I really like Denton's show, you guys, by the way. He's very enthusiastic, and just to be totally upfront with you guys in the audience, I am a firm ETH guy, and we can get into that a little bit later. But back to off the coast there. So when I look at that, it looks geologic to me. We're in a very aggressive fault zone over there where the Earth can do weird things just based on what we call the parent material or the type of rock, whether that's granite, sandstones, all these different things. So I don't see anything artificial at that site, and I've seen the imagery and I've seen the computer models of that. Now, however, I'm a very big advocate for the underwater UFO type of sightings. So that, you know, if we're going to talk about that subject, that to me makes a hell of a lot more sense than, you know, some of the other terrestrial sightings. I mean, look, if you're coming here, and again, I'm an ETH guy, and you have a craft that can fly through space and through the atmosphere, it's going to be able to go underwater quite easily. And if that's the best way to conceal yourself. Anyway, so that's the point. And then some of the testimony of the sailors and other folks that see these craft, they're in daylight and they see many. It's very different for me than the phenomena of seeing lights in the sky. A lot of the, you know, marine based sightings are in the day, and they have some very sober people looking at them. And it's not, it doesn't have that veil of nighttime and dull lights to it. And so for me, that is that's an area that very much intrigues me. And, I will continue to look into for that fact.
Well, it seems to be a logical place to go. If ET comes here and they want to stay here and monitor us, we have less ability to monitor what's going on in the oceans than elsewhere. So that's a good place.
It's where I'd go, Gene.
Yeah, it seems to make sense because unless you're in the Navy or you're part of some research vessel or larger seagoing vessel, and not just part of that, but part of the crew that has access to sonar and so on, you're just not going to detect that kind of thing. Unless you're in a passenger ship and you happen to be looking out and see some lights in the water that just take off up into the sky.
Yeah, and for me, the sonar or the radar evidence for objects moving at extreme speeds underwater, we have a lot of references for that, makes more sense than the airborne or the atmospheric phenomena for me, because the physics underwater are much more constrained than that in the air. And so when we have things moving at very high rates of speed under the water, that's very hard. I mean, look, either the equipment is faulty or there's something, in fact, very strange going on there.
We're covering waterborne UFOs or USOs, depending on your point of view. One of our listeners, Mark Jackson, is holding court. And being a geologist, he has some really, really important levels of expertise to offer. With Gene Randall and Mark, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
He does that well, you know?
Yes, you do. That's almost radio quality. You've got a good voice on the radio. You should get yourself... into it some more.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. No, I was excited to come on today and meet you guys informally here. Yeah, it's good. I'm from North Dakota, and I sort of research North Dakota specific paranormal events. I was born and raised here, and you know the old saying of you dance with the one who brought you, right? So I'm starting here. I currently reside in Texas, however, and I have started some research down in Texas as well, who also has a very rich, you know, UFO sort of history, let's call it. But North Dakota is special in the sense that, and I'm jumping right into UFOs here, and we're kind of off topic, but, you know, I'll give a plug for North Dakota. What's unique about the sightings up here, of course, are the Minuteman missiles and, you know, the encounters that are seen up here and that are logged and cataloged by the military, you know, these are very significant. In fact, there was the book about UFOs and nukes, and I forget who wrote that book, Randall, Gene. Let me give a plug for the book.
Yeah, it's one of these things where you look and you think, oh, I know that book. I know that book. And then I have a way of figuring it out. And the way I used to figure it out.
Yeah, Robert Hastings.
Robert Hastings, right. See, what I do is I look at the promo he did. Oh, we got a promo for the show from Robert Hastings, and therefore he's the one who wrote it. And for some reason, he hasn't come back on the show. I think he got ditched in the forums. You know how that is, where some people get beside themselves, and some people take it personally, and we understand that.
Anyway, you were saying, Mark, what were you going to say about him?
Well, I find, you know, as just looking at the field in general, that some of the most credible cases come out of North Dakota. And that's, you know, there's the David Schindel experience. This is in 1966, where 10 nuclear facilities and essentially missiles were disarmed. And there were many military police that saw the object hovering over it. There are even cases where the lids of these nuclear facilities were removed. What I find interesting about the cases, and this is at the Minot Air Force Base, is the incident that I'm talking about today and or in the moment. And I'm from Minot. I was raised there. And growing up, I had lots of friends who were in the military because the town was very small. It's very northern North Dakota by the Canadian border, essentially. And there was a very strong subculture about UFOs when I was growing up, through my youth, that was perpetuated through almost family stories about them. So that's what kind of got me thinking about this more critically. There are other cases, I think in 1948, to go back a little earlier, there was a case where an Air National Guard pilot got into a chase with a UFO over Fargo, North Dakota. That was very well documented. That was registered on a number of different radar systems. So there was the secondary or supporting evidence for that particular case besides just having the eyewitness account. And I'm struggling for that guy's. I think his last name was Gorman. So, you know, those are just two cases from North Dakota that are extremely credible. And what makes them credible is there was a lot of documentation from these Minutemen or these guys that ran these missile silos where they're being briefed from very high up not to say anything. So in terms of the silencing, there's a very well-documented trail for a couple of, you know, this case in 1966 in Minot, for example, that made the front page paper of the Minot newspaper. So it wasn't locally, on the local level, it wasn't dismissed. In fact, quite the opposite, it was embraced. After that, these same Minutemen were, you know, to come out, they're much older in age today, and they've come out and they've said, look, we were briefed on many occasions by the authority figures of the day or whatever, that we were strictly not to talk about this. And you can understand that in the light of the Cold War. But anyway, those are a couple of cases that are interesting, and I just think they're extremely credible.
Then again, you know, maybe they were instructed not to talk about it because it is just a high security subject matter. It may not be because there was actually any alien intervention going on. What do you think of, for example, if you follow the skeptical side of that, and this is one of the things I do, is whenever someone makes a claim, I immediately type into the search engines, you know, whatever it is debunked, and I look at the other side just to make sure I'm not caught off guard by some other facts that are being conveniently ignored. And when they looked into what caused those systems to go out, it was a burnt out circuit board that they found, and they identified the specific part, and the part itself, there's even a picture of it, was integrated in such a manner that it would have the effect of causing pretty much the main systems to go down because of it's dependent, sort of, and a number of systems are dependent on that one part. So it's, you know, things fail, things stop working. And then you go, okay, well, what about the sighting above ground at the same time? And then you find out that it's really hearsay from one person who allegedly overheard somebody else say, well, you know, so-and-so said that. And you try to trace it back, and the whole thing starts to get really weak all of a sudden.
Yeah. That's true, except for the testimony. You know, Linda Moltenhau and her database at Earth Files, she cataloged a lot of video testimony from these guys, you know, and I watch it, and just like the rest of us, we're always searching for some hint at whether or not someone's telling the truth or, you know, and trying to decipher all of this. And I can only add up what I consider to be very genuine testimony. And, things fail and circuit boards is convenient. I like it. I mean, it's a great way to say that nothing ever happened. But for me, I link the personal testimony with the chronology, and there's personal testimony. There's actual events. There's things like circuit boards, you know. So essentially what I'm saying, guys, is I put a lot more stock in witness testimony, than probably other people, essentially.
Well, I think we have to. I think that human beings are the evidence. I think that human beings are given far too little credit by the skeptics because our ability to perceive intelligently and to discern what we're seeing is still unprecedented by any machine. So if we're going to say, well, humans are really poor observers and poor witnesses, well, tell me, what's better?
Yeah, you know, AI cannot make the amount of computational effort that our brains can. In fact, it's so far off. You know, there's this whole notion that AI is so advanced and that couldn't be further from the truth. But the human brain, as we know from survival of the fittest, we dominate this planet. We're flawed, but I agree with you completely, Randall. The human interpretive machine, not much gets by us because we've been put under environmental stress long enough, and we've won the game to date. outside of cataclysm. So, no, I mean, I think about my own faculty, my deductive reasoning, et cetera. I understand people have mental illness and their mistakes can be made, et cetera. But when I see some of the witness testimony and watch some of the actual interviews themselves, facial gestures, some of the cueing for when people are supposedly telling lies and things that affect, I don't see that. I see genuine people that are smart. They don't seem unstable and, you know, they can pull one over on you and people have good days and bad days. But for me, in my camp, I put a lot of stock into other folks' testimony because I put a lot of stock in my own ability to testify on things.
I think you bring up a really interesting point about AI. It's developing very rapidly. And, you know, when you say, you know, we've won the game, I guess it depends on what game you're playing, because now AI can win pretty much just about any game there is. So I was kind of interested in, after watching a video recently, actually one that was recommended by Richard Dolan. I wonder if we were to give AI this problem and say, are aliens real? Do aliens visit our world? I mean, are we getting to the point where we can ask Siri or Alexa, is alien visitation real? And have their AI figure it out? Just set about figuring it out.
You know, they already have. And the answer came back yes. So in terms of statistical analysis and probability science, and NASA has even come back and said, our calculations, in other words, AI, advanced computing, all indicators are coming back to us that the universe is, in fact, teeming with life.
We've got more to come with Mark. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.